watchword for this week comes from Romans chapter 10, verse 11. No one who believes in Christ will be put to shame. Let us reflect on these words as we listen to this morning's prayer. The God of our ancestors hears our cries.
God reaches out with a mighty hand and outstretched arm.
God guides us through the wildernesses of our lives.
God is with us through the journey of Lent.
The Lord, our shelter, refuge, and dwelling place, says,
when my people call to me, I will answer them.
I will be with them in times of trouble.
I will show them my salvation.
Let us remain standing for the opening hymn this morning, number 330 in your book of worship, Hail, O Once Despised Jesus.
You have so great to release us.
in the season of Lent. Now, Lent began a few days ago on Ash Wednesday, and thank you to everyone who supported and attended our service this past Wednesday evening. And so Lent continues today through our prayers, singing, studying, and partaking of Holy Communion as we begin to travel down the road to the cross with Jesus and reflect on his wounds and sufferings. And so, friends, during this season, as you're traveling down that road and as reflecting on the trials of Jesus brings up all the trials you are experiencing, know that you're not alone in this journey. You are surrounded by the love and light of Jesus Christ and by your community of faith that is Christ Moravian Church. Before we continue with this special service today, I have a few announcements to share with you. So friends, the next day of prayer service will be today, right here at Christ Moravian Church, beginning at 2 o'clock p.m. in the sanctuary. We are privileged for our guest speaker this afternoon to be the Reverend Dr. Craig Atwood, current associate pastor at Home Moravian Church and former professor and dean at Moravian Theological Seminary. We also will be celebrating a love feast during the service today. So if you're able to, please come at 2 o'clock, enjoy the love feast meal, the guest sermon, and the singing and fellowship of your fellow believers for day of prayer today. And so the following day of prayer service, this Wednesday, will be at Trinity Moravian Church at 11 o'clock a.m., lunch will be served after the service. I have been asked to let you know that the Lenten Book Study Group led by Darla Ernest is being postponed for the time being. I know this is a sudden announcement and that many of you were looking forward to the study. And so Darla does apologize. The study will happen at some point soon. It just won't happen during the season of Lent. So stay tuned for more news and information from Darla about when the study will take place. The Finance and Stewardship Committee will meet this coming Thursday, March the 13th at 5:30 p.m. in the office building. The Leadership Board will meet next Sunday, March 16th, after worship in the Fellowship Building. And the Women's Fellowship will have a circle meeting on Monday, March 17th, at noon in the Fellowship Building. So please pray for all of these groups as they continue to conduct the church's business for 2025. And friends, a group from Christ Moravian will be attending a Carolina Thunderbirds hockey game on Saturday, March 22nd at 6:05 p.m. The tickets for the game are $22 each. They include hot dog, popcorn, and drink. The deadline to sign up for the game, if you're interested, is today, and tickets will be dispersed next weekend. So if you're interested in attending, please sign up today before you leave the church. And friends, we will ask you to keep our beloved sister, Jeannie Rothrock, in your prayers. A few days ago, Jeannie suffered a fall and dislocated her hip. It was reset, and there's no more serious injury. She's in the hospital for observation, and so I'll let you know more news when I hear it. Just please keep Jeannie and Terry and that whole family in your prayers during this time. So let us go to the Lord in prayer together. Gracious God, we welcome your presence among us now. And gracious God, we recognize today what a privilege it is to be here in this space as the season of Lent begins. For what better way to greet this season that can often be so somber, so melancholy, so full of feelings and experiences and things going on that we may not be inclined to confront, that we can try and do so with your help. It is indeed a blessing to be surrounded by the fellowship of our community of faith, the Christ Moravian Church, in the sanctuary for this service this morning, for the partaking of Holy Communion, and later for the love feast in the afternoon. And gracious God, as we give thanks for this blessing and this privilege, we also lift up those who cannot be here today. We lift up Sister Jean. We lift up our friends, our special friends who are at home and for their health who cannot be here. We lift up all those who are where they do not want or need to be this day for whatever reason. Gracious God, as we'll hear later today, we know the heart that you have for the ones who are suffering, for the stranger, for the ones who need care. And gracious God, because this is on your heart, it is on our hearts as well. So as we enjoy each other's fellowship today, let us also hold alongside that feeling of contentment, concern, and care for those who are not here with us. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Friends, the responsive reading for today will be Lent 1. Begins on page 72 of your hymnal. If you're able, please stand. Let's pray the Lent 1 liturgy to the Lord this morning. Lord God, our Father in heaven, you have shown your great love toward us by sending your Son into the world to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. We give you thanks because you have made us worthy to share in the inheritance of the saints in light, having rescued us from the power of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of your beloved Son.
In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins.
The Savior of the world. Though you were in the form of God, you did not consider equality with God something to cling to, but emptied yourself, taking the form of a servant, being born in human likeness. You humbled yourself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross.
Your love compels us to live not for ourselves, but for you.
We give you thanks because you, our merciful and faithful High Priest, have made reconciliation for the sins of the people. You were despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. You were wounded for our transgressions. You were bruised for our iniquities.
Upon you fell the punishment that made us whole, and by your wounds we are healed.
Give you thanks because you descended upon the Christ, anointing him to bring good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the time of the Lord's favor.
You fill our hearts with the love of God and make our bodies your holy temple.
Please be seated.
Of the body and spirit, from all self-righteousness, from every neglect of our duty, from ingratitude and selfishness, from lukewarmness, from all indifference to your meritorious life and death.
Thank you.
by your holy incarnation and birth, by your early exile, by your pure and blameless childhood, by your willing obedience, by your humility, meekness, and patience, by your faithfulness in your earthly calling, by your fasting and temptation, by your perfect life before God and humanity.
Bless and comfort us, gracious Lord God.
By your tears and agony, your crown of thorns and cross,
lead us to repentance for our sins.
By your willing sacrifice of yourself, even unto death,
make known to us the mystery of your love.
And to your open arms stretched out upon the cross,
receive us all.
Please stand. Precious blood, by your innocent suffering and dying, by your rest in the grave, by your glorious resurrection and ascension,
bless us and save us, Christ Jesus, our Redeemer.
Fulfill in us your prayer that all who love you may be one, as you are in the Father, and the Father in you.
Hear us and help us, gracious Savior.
You have made God known to us as Father, so that the love with which he has loved you may be in us.
And you in us.
Christ and him crucified
remain our confession.
Thank you.
guys, I do have to say, the Holy Spirit did that thing again this week where I was planning my sermon with my own human brain, and I was going to go in one direction. Then the Holy Spirit tapped me on the shoulder and said, no, go in this direction instead. And so as a result, we're going to flip the order of the scripture readings listed in your bulletin. So Matt, if it's okay with you, first we'll hear the Ephesians reading, and then later on in the service, we'll hear the Deuteronomy passage that my message is written from.
So from Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 11 through 22. So then, remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth called the uncircumcision by those who were called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, so that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him both of us have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. The word of God for the people of God this day. At this day, let us go to God in prayer. Father God, we give you thanks in this moment. Thanks that we are able to gather freely into your house and worship you this, the first Sunday of Lent. We pray for your presence to be with us throughout these 40 days and nights. We pray not only that we recommit ourselves to you, but that you will walk with us in a new way and renew a spirit within us and help us to serve you as you would have us through this Lenten season. We give you thanks for the many gifts you have given us, Father. And as we return a portion of that to you now, we pray that you bless it and use it as you see fit for the furthering of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
And now our Old Testament reading today from Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter, verses 10 through 22. So now, O Israel, what does the Lord God require of you? Only to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his decrees that I am commanding you today for your own well-being. Although heaven and the heaven of heavens belong to the Lord your God, the earth with all that is in it, yet the Lord set his heart in love on your ancestors alone and chose you, their descendants after them, out of all the peoples as it is today. Circumcise then the foreskin of your heart and do not be stubborn any longer. For the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who is not partial and takes no bribe, who executes justice for the orphan and the widow, and who loves the strangers, providing them with food and clothing. You shall also love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. Him alone you shall worship. To him you shall hold fast, and by his name you shall swear. He is your praise. He is your God, who has done for you these great and awesome things that your own eyes have seen. Your ancestors went down to Egypt, 70 persons, and now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars in heaven. The word of God for the people of God. And thanks be to God. I invite you to stand and join with me and sing hymn number 328, What Wondrous Love Is This?
What wondrous love is this for my soul? Friends, I'm getting to the age where I'm starting to keep an eye on my heart health. Every time I go to the doctor for a checkup, I get the pep talk now about, I gotta take care of your heart, gotta watch your cholesterol, gotta watch your triglyceride levels. I have to be more aware of those things, maybe adjust my diet from time to time, exercise, lifestyle habits, in order to preserve this heart that beats in my chest. See, my family has a history of poor heart health. My maternal grandfather, my mom's dad, first had a heart attack in his mid-30s. He had numerous related health problems throughout his entire life. Then on the other side, my paternal grandfather, my dad's dad, he ended up passing a heart attack before I was born. My aunt, years ago, switched to a vegetarian diet with her glass of red wine daily so she could take care of her heart. Heart health is an important thing on the minds of those in my family on both sides to preserve and to keep intact. Truth be told, heart health is important for all of us too. Our hearts are vital to our well-being. There are many organs or parts of our body that could fail, that could quit working, that could be removed, and the body could continue to function. For example, I don't have an appendix. That was removed when I was a kid, but appendix is one of those things that you can do just fine without. Some people, for whatever other reason, have other organs that they have to have taken out. Or maybe they have to have replaced in a transplant or go through some sort of intensive treatment in some way. Now, none of these things are completely ideal, right? Everything does have its purpose, even if we may not fully understand what it is. So if something is removed or replaced, other parts of the body have to pick up the slack. The overall performance of the body might be affected. But there's quite a few things that could stop working, and we'd still be able to keep on going for the most part. Not the heart, though. If the heart stops, that's it. It's curtains for us. The cells in our body need oxygen to make energy and do their jobs. We bring in that oxygen with our lungs when we breathe. The oxygen's carried through the blood by a special kind of cell. The blood is pumped through the body by the heart. And all that is to say, if the heart stops working, then everything stops working. Because everything depends on the heart moving that blood with that oxygen in it throughout our body. And so as a result, because the heart has such an important place in how our body works, our human society, our culture, has placed the heart on a bit of a pedestal. Not only is it known as a vital organ, perhaps even the most vital organ, but we also tend to place a lot of symbolic and sentimental value on the heart. When we say we love someone very much, we love someone with all of our being, what's the organ we use to describe how we feel? The heart. We say, I love you with all of my heart. In many cultures and belief systems, the heart is considered special. It could be the emotional center of the body. It could be the center of reason, thought, enlightenment. And it could be a place of importance. Spiritual focus. And there's a Moravian connection to that last part. Our Moravian ancestor, Count Zinzendorf, who founded and guided the city of, or the small town of Herrnhut, back when the church was renewed in Germany, he believed that the heart was the center of everything we felt and did as Christians. His belief on it, we even call today the theology of the heart. So that's what leads us to today's scripture reading from Deuteronomy. Part of Moses' words to the people of God in this text have to do with the heart. Verse 16 of chapter 10 reads, circumcise then the foreskin of your heart. Do not be stubborn any longer. Let's stop right there for a second. We've got to talk about the elephant in the room for just a minute. For a bit of background information, circumcision is a medical procedure where a very small piece of skin is cut off of a very sensitive area on a baby boy. In the present, circumcision can be done for medical reasons. There are many medical benefits for it. It can be done for religious reasons. But in the time of Moses, it had a very special purpose. Circumcision was a physical sign, an outward change that represented the covenant made between God and the people. So to be circumcised in that time meant to commit and be part of the relationship between God and the people. So what are we to make of the verse that says, circumcise then the foreskin of your hearts? I don't think we're going to take that as a literal statement. Moses is not telling the people to cut into their hearts. That would have some very bad consequences. Rather, I think Moses is telling the people any commitment made to God needs to be reflected on the inside as well as the outside. It's not just any outward sign that reflects who we are and what we do, but what goes on in here. We're not called to just do individual things for the sake of appearances or for other people's perspectives, but we're called to maintain a constant lifestyle of serving God and our neighbor, a consistent pattern of word and deed, of outward action that reflects what we feel and hear. And so the way we live our lives reflects how we feel inside about God and what God is calling us to do. Now, sometimes it can be hard to figure out what exactly it is that God is calling us to do. There can be a number of things in the world that can be clouding our perception. We might go to God in prayer, we might seek answers as best we can, but there are other competing voices and influences that are telling us so many things, and it's hard to pick out what's true, what's the right thing to do, who should we listen to, what does God want us to do? And so in times like that, we can turn to Scripture to help guide us. We can see what our ancestors in faith at various points in the history of God's people did in response to God's call. And right on cue, if we were to turn to verse 12 of today's text, we read the question, what does the Lord require of you? Personally, I love that question, y'all. It's direct communication. If we're asking the question, God, what do you want us to do? And then we turn to Deuteronomy 10:12, we read, what does the Lord want you to do? And it goes on to say that. And that's just very refreshing. No beating around the bush. Moses knows the people want to hear what God requires of them. And he's about to tell them. So what does the Lord require of them? If we read on in Deuteronomy 10, we read that the Lord requires that the people execute justice for the orphan and the widow, that they love the stranger by providing them food and clothing, that they serve the Lord their God, they keep the Lord's commandments, and they circumcise the foreskins of their hearts. So friends, when we care for those who need it, we are being like God. We are serving God. We're keeping God's commandments by loving our neighbor through word and deed. To love and serve someone besides yourself is to be an agent of God on this earth. And it doesn't matter if your neighbor is like you or from somewhere else. God instructs us in Scripture today, they're to be treated and loved the same. God told the Israelites that they should love the stranger because they themselves were strangers in the land of Egypt. So God's justification for this commandment is shared human experience. Even though they may be strangers to you now, you know what it's like to be a stranger. You were strangers in the land of Egypt once, and so you should care now for those who are strangers among you. Oh, and by the way, who cared for you when you were strangers in the land of Egypt? God did. So be like God in caring for strangers among you now. This is the message that the people of God are receiving in Deuteronomy. God does not distinguish between stranger, and neighbor. Everyone is to be treated with love and respect, no matter what. God created the stranger and the foreigner and the friend and neighbor alike. And the stakes are high, friends. The very integrity of God's creation is at stake in how we respond to God's calling for us. In verse 14, we read that heaven and the heavens, the heaven of heavens belong to the Lord your God, the earth with all that is in it. In verse 17, we read, the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome. So this decree to love and welcome the stranger is coming from the highest authority, not just another king, not just another ruler, not just another prophet, but God, the Almighty God, who made heaven and earth and everything in them. So, when we choose not to care for other people for whatever reason, we're then making a value statement about God and what God does and has done. When we mistreat other people, we are telling God we think God's creation and saving grace aren't good enough in our own human opinion. Our outer actions do not represent the inner change God has made in our hearts. And so I think this is what Moses is getting at in the scripture of Deuteronomy today. Circumcise the foreskins of your hearts. Make sure that the inner change that's going on in your heart is what's shining through in your outer action to those around you. So friends, in this year, the year 2025, the words Moses spoke to the people of God thousands of years ago still reverberate throughout history. They still have great meaning today. They're timeless. We're reading them today. They were written thousands of years ago, but the meanings still translate across all that time and space. These words teach us what it is that the Lord requires of us. These words instruct us to place the highest priority on welcoming and caring for the stranger, because that's what God thinks is important. Those words show us that love in this sense is directly connected to service. In verse 18, we read, God loves the stranger by providing food and clothing. Love is not just a feeling in that sense, but action to care for others. Most importantly, those words remind us that faith in God is more than just our outward appearance. What we believe starts with how we feel in our hearts about God, and then moves outward to our hands, to our feet, whatever it is that we do to serve God and love others, to serve others and love God. Friends, one of those outward expressions that we do to show an inner commitment in our hearts to God is the act of celebrating Holy Communion. We gather in community now to meet our Savior together, to invite Jesus into whatever is going on with us at this time. And so just as we read in the text in Deuteronomy, let us also in this moment of Holy Communion renew and maintain our covenant with the Lord by what we are about to say and do. The communion liturgy for today begins on page 196 of your hymnal. We'll be praying the atonement communion liturgy this morning. In the Moravian Church, we practice an open communion. Anyone who wishes to partake may do so, regardless of membership, denomination, other church status. If you're willing and able to partake, then you are most welcome to join us. Friends, the table is set. The meal is ready. Let us now enter into the presence of Jesus Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
Please stand.
Father God, we pause in this moment to give you thanks. Thanks for this opportunity to come to your table and share in your Holy Supper as a member of your family, indeed as children of God. We pray that you be with us not only physically in this meal, but in our lives. We pray that you send forth your Spirit to renew our hearts, so that we may be more perfected in you. Hear the words that we just sang, Lord, and let them be our prayer. Come then, come, O flock of Jesus, covenant with him anew, unto him who conquered for us, pledge we love and service true. Let our mutual love be glowing, thus the world will plainly see that we, as on one stem growing, living branches, are in thee. And Father, oftentimes we know not how to pray, but you taught us to pray. So hear us together as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Beloved friends, our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Thank you.
is my body, which is given for you. By your divine presence, by the holy sacraments, by all the merits of your life, sufferings, death, and resurrection.
Bless and comfort us, gracious Lord and God.
Amen. My friends, in the same way, after supper, our Lord Jesus Christ took the cup, gave thanks, gave it to his disciples, saying, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. Christ, the Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world.
Grant to us your peace.
May God lift up God's countenance before you and bring you peace.